Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Early odds with Joe Ostrowski.
Oregon's down by 12. They're on the 45-yard line with no timeouts.
Oregon's got an All-American field goal kicker.
Why didn't somebody tell me?
Bet with an edge.
He'd find out the kind of inside stuff nobody else knew, and that's what he put his money on. He even figured out the different bounce you got off the different kinds of wood they used on college basketball courts, you know?
Early odds with Joe Ostrowski.
A friend of mine is very smart, said I've been very lucky with gambling. I've never won.
Six wildcard games over the next 3 days will bring us from 14 down to 8 NFL teams left standing. Broadcasting live from the Score Hyundai Studios, presented by your local Hyundai dealers. Follow me on Twitter, at Joe Ostrowski. That is at Joe Ostrowski. Good morning. Thanks for joining us a couple hours earlier than usual. A bunch of moving parts over the next couple of weeks, especially today with the NFL playoff programming, and we also have Cubs convention going on. We actually go later in the day on next Saturday. But as far as today goes, BetQL's countdown to kickoff, 7 to 9 a.m. with my guys Nick Costos and Ken Barkley following early odds. Then inside the clubhouse in their usual 9 a.m. spot, I believe from the Cubs convention, which would make perfect sense. And speaking of BetQL, I host BetQL Daily weekdays 8 to 11 a.m. on the BetQL network. Before I get to my wildcard picks, I wanted to share some vital info and opinions we received on the show this week from a few of our outstanding guests. We start with NFL insider Jason LaConfora, who's based in Baltimore, so he's all up to speed on Lamar Jackson, and Jason has betting angles on wildcard games. I asked Jason, if Lamar missing tomorrow is all injury or just a little contract-based?
Yeah, I don't know who could answer that, you know? I mean, besides Lamar and the medical team, I don't know. I just know that it was always more than a 1 to 3 week injury, and you talk to people who have had PCL issues, and you talk to guys who have had PCL issues who have to try to play the game the way Lamar plays it, and I know they were telling me, bro, that's could be 4 to 6 weeks before you come back, and even when you come back, you feel like garbage for a while. Look, but yes, there is the specter of the contract, and that's on the organization. They let it get to this point. Players of this stature, who are this dynamic, who basically you're going to win 66% of the time when he's on the field, and you're going to lose 66% of the time when he's not on the field. Dudes like that, they get paid before having to play out their entire rookie contract with no future guarantees. And I will just reassert, he got hurt in the pocket. He didn't get hurt freelancing. He didn't get hurt being cute. He didn't get hurt looking for contact. He got hurt in the pocket for the second straight year. And the timing of it couldn't have been worse. But, yeah, now there's a lot of big picture questions, not just the playoffs, but, you know, him going into an offseason injured, him, you know, having to work out a contract with the Ravens or whoever he gets traded to, him staring at the franchise tag, you know, him not afforded the same courtesy as a lot of other quarterbacks, him hearing his owner speak publicly for the first time since he was drafted in the spring and basically say, he's not worth my money. He knows he's not worth my money. We don't believe in doing business like the Cleveland Browns. And maybe if he wins me a Super Bowl, I'll think about paying him the way he wants to be paid. Like, all that matters. All that's in this bouillabaisse somewhere.
Sunday's triple header of the three games. What is your favorite look?
Oh, man, I just think that this Buffalo thing could get really sideways, you know? But, I mean, Skylar Thompson, what is this thing? Before this injury, Bridgewater with a hand injury, I mean, I don't know. Even the game that Buffalo lost to those guys, boy, they ran a ton of plays, right? I mean, it's been a lot of freaky stuff that's had to happen. Miami's only 3-6 on the road. Miami allows almost 31 points per game on the road. I feel like they're walking into a hornet's nest here. That could be a beatdown. That's another game I'll probably make a lot of first-half plays on, guys. because, again, backdoor cover, the Bills call off the dogs, and it's the playoffs. You don't want to get anybody hurt. You know, and you know McDaniel's going to want to keep throwing the ball around because his job security, I would say, is not exactly totally secure. So, yeah, I think Buffalo flexes its muscles early, wins that first half fairly handily. Then I'll be looking into some of that action.
Jason, this thing ends with the Cowboys at the Bucks Monday night. We're under three now at BetMGM. Cowboys a 2.5-point favorite. I think 6 weeks ago, 7 weeks ago, people would have said, well, the Cowboys, I mean, look, Dak Prescott is playing at a much higher level than Tom Brady. Yet you look at Dak now, I mean, that basically leads the NFL in interceptions despite playing nine games. Where do you lean in this one? Dallas, a very small favorite despite being a better team, you know, for the majority of the season.
Yeah, I like the Bucks on the money line here. I think the Bucks are going to win this football game. You know, Dallas has kind of been a team that, well, they don't show up big in big spots. You know, I don't have a lot of faith in Mike McCarthy in this spot. Not that I do in Todd Bowles either, but one guy's got playoff Tom Brady and the other guy's got playoff Dak. And, yeah, I haven't liked anything I've seen of Dak recently. And I mean, you go back since week 13, still nine interceptions since week 13. Now, Brady's thrown a bunch, too. He's thrown seven, but I feel like Brady's kind of settled down, and we're seeing Dak just force balls after, you know, throwing into double coverage, playing too much hero ball. I don't like Dallas's defense in the second half of the year. Like, if I was going to like Dallas in the playoffs, it was going to be because that defense we saw in September and October was showing up big in January, and that's not been the case. And I don't think Parsons has been healthy much in the second half of the year. You know, it's not as turnover prone and as sack prone as it was early in the year. And yeah, I think both these quarterbacks, if you're looking for early props, I think both these quarterbacks are throwing interceptions. But I think Tampa's the better team. I think Tampa clearly has the better playoff pedigree. And I think Tom Brady will manage them to a situation where it's probably low scoring, it's probably back and forth, and Tom Brady wins the fourth quarter. I mean, even this year when his team was floundering, you know, more than anybody expected, he could still get them going in the fourth quarter, get that two-minute offense, hurry up stuff going, and find a way to score one more point than the other team. And I think that happens again.
I know it's going to be a great story. Either Brady is one and done in the playoffs after a disappointing season despite winning the division, or Cowboys are out and media goes crazy, blow the whole thing up. Jason LaConfora on BetQL Daily. I like to check in with Patrick Everson of Vegas Insider in weeks like this, and here's why. He's constantly talking to the top Vegas odds makers to find out where the professional bettors are lining up and where the public stands. Here's Everson with me this week, sharing info on the three NFC wildcard games. Take a listen.
Honestly, look, Minnesota's a three-point favorite at home, and there's a school of thought where home field is worth 3 points. So if that's the case, that's all Minnesota is being given here. And we just saw this happen like 3 weeks ago, Minnesota by three on a 61-yard field goal as time expired. So Minnesota getting by the skin of its teeth again, which is a habit for Minnesota. Minnesota with 13 regular season wins has a point differential for the season of -3. It's like the temperature in Minneapolis this time of year, -3. It's fascinating how you can do that. When you look at some of the other teams in the playoffs that have got double-digit wins and their point differentials of over 100 or more, and Minnesota with 13 wins at a -3. Now, what one odds maker told me on Thursday night about this is that number has been out there for a while. The fact that Minnesota has such a low season-long point differential and actually negative at this moment. And he said what's been going on is everybody has been lining up every week to bet against Minnesota. And he thinks now it's at a point where at this point, at this stage, postseason wildcard weekend, that there's actually a little bit of value in Minnesota. And he thinks they might actually even draw a little bit of sharp play in this spot. He just feels like that, A, it's a three game, and that's why it hasn't moved. He said this is just the perfect three game. But B, he thinks Minnesota's a little better than it showed in that game against the Giants back in week 16. So he feels like if you can get three or less, and I'm not sure if it'll go less, but he said if you can get three or less, he thinks that's where the value is. And as an odds maker, he said if it's three or less, I would rather need the favorite in this game than the dog.
What about Cowboys Bucks? Two interesting teams. I don't really trust either, but if I had to pick, I'd just take the Bucks +2.5. What kind of insights can you share with us on this one?
a couple things. First off, there's a sharp guy, a pretty sharp bettor, who I reach out to each week, Aaron. And he had three plays this week, and one of them was Tampa plus 3.5. Obviously, the plus 3.5s are gone now. But to your point, he said, I don't trust the Dallas defense. He said he's been telling a lot of people for many weeks, the secondary is depleted, does not have the pieces on the defensive side of the ball, doesn't trust them offensively to take care of the ball on the road against Tampa. And he likes the way Godwin is getting involved for Tampa. He said, if you feel frisky, grab Tampa money line. I took plus 3.5 when it opened. I recommend taking Tampa plus 3. This might get back to 3. We'll see, you know, if the public weighs in on the Cowboys. So I thought that was a pretty interesting outlook on that. The sharp bettors at multiple books, I've heard from multiple odds makers this week, and I'm sure BetMGM among them, the sharp bettors were on Tampa early at 3.5 and 3, like right out of the gate. I don't think the sharp bettors are necessarily saying, oh, it's Tom Brady, like they might normally do. But Tom Brady getting points at home in the playoffs is a pretty unique situation.
It does not happen often. Patrick Everson joining us here talking about Wild Card Weekend. Patrick, I'm curious where the money and the tickets are coming in on the first game of the weekend. I think everyone expects the Niners to win, but are they going to cover 9.5? I mean, there have only been 6 rookie quarterbacks to ever win their first playoff start. The assumption is Brock Purdy is going to be number 7, but is a rookie 7th-round pick quarterback going to cover 9.5? What are you seeing and what are you hearing about the Niners-Seahawks in terms of the betting market?
This line at some books opened 10.5, and I think even maybe touched 11 at a couple of spots, and now we're back to 9.5. And in talking with one odd biker on Wednesday night, that's absolutely, direct quote, clearly the sharp side is Seattle. And he said that's not to say that they won't necessarily buy back on the Niners now that we're at 9.5. If it gets any lower, I think they absolutely will. But that's been the sharp side. He said what he feels like is going on here is over these last few weeks, the 49ers were cashing tickets at numbers that were too low. There was an adjustment going on as the Niners continue to get hotter and hotter on this 10-game win streak. And by the way, an 8-2 against the spread streak, which is pretty outstanding as well. But he felt like they weren't quite caught up. Now he thinks at this 10.5, and even 11, it's not there now, but some places did touch 11 on this, that it's a bit of an overreaction. And he said people that he really respects saw that as a red flag, and they jumped all over the Seahawks at some cases 11, but definitely 10.5 and 10 to push that down to 9.5. So Seattle's absolutely the sharp side. San Francisco, no question, is going to be the public side. We'll see which side wins out. I assume that San Francisco is going to do just fine here in tickets and money because they've just been delivering for people for a couple of months now.
Yeah, they will. I get where the sharps are coming from on Seattle. I'll get to that with my picks in a moment. That was Patrick Everson, a Vegas insider. And this is Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski, Sports Radio 670, The Score. All right, one more before I rifle through my thoughts on each wild card game. My guy Ian McMillan of BetSide. Oh no, we're going to be on some opposite sides this weekend. Ian, first, on Niners-Seahawks for the third time this season, it's San Fran minus 9.5.
I think it's about right. I am going to back the 49ers here, but if there is a worry, it's exactly that. It's Brock Purdy making his first playoff start. I will say I've bet against the 49ers the past couple weeks, thinking that a Brock Purdy bad game, some Brock Purdy regression was going to eventually show. It still hasn't. And the great thing about the 49ers is obviously the system that they play in. He doesn't have to do too much. They can kind of rely on Christian McCaffrey. Actually, I found a prop bet. I think it was over 113 total rushing receiving yards for Christian McCaffrey. Love that. They've been leaning on him quite a bit the past few weeks. And this Seahawks team just completely limped into the playoffs. They needed overtime to beat the Rams of all teams just to even get into the postseason. And they needed the Lions to beat the Packers. This is a team that by definition, limped into the playoffs. So, I'm not too worried, but if Brock Purdy doesn't show up, then things could get a little bit sketchy. But I'll be on Brock Purdy's side. I'll lay the points.
To use your stat, net yards per play, the one you mentioned earlier, how much did these two teams stink that we're going to see late Sunday afternoon? Now, it could be a good game, but the Giants and Vikings are both – I haven't looked at your updated one this week, but I have to think they're both bottom third of the league in net yards per play, Giants and Vikings, close to that. They both were outscored this year. What do you think of this game? Because I think they're both evenly blah, but someone's got to win.
Yes, I agree. If there was two teams that I would say are the most fraudulent in the NFL this season, two teams that didn't deserve the record they had, it'd be the New York Giants and the Minnesota Vikings. So good news is one of them will be eliminated. Bad news is we'll have to see one of them in the second round of the playoffs. But yeah, I just brought up the net yards per play rankings updated from this week. 24th were the Giants in net yards per play this season. The Vikings were 26th. I will say about the Giants, though, they actually got better late in the season. Actually, over their last three games, actually fourth in the NFL in net yards per play. Now, their schedule was a little bit easy in the last three games, a big blow win over the Colts. But I'm going to take the points with the Giants here. I think they have been playing a little bit better. And even though they lost to the Vikings just a few weeks ago, I think that was on Christmas Eve, they actually outgained the Vikings. I actually thought they largely outplayed them. If you look at yards per play gained in that game, 6.7 compared to the Vikings at 5.0. The Giants had a couple key turnovers, which cost them. So as long as they can kind of hang on to the ball in this case, are they going to win? I don't know. But in a game between two teams who I don't think are very good, I'll take the team getting the 3 points and hope that it's at least a close game.
What about Cowboys, Bucks? Dak not playing his best football in... Maybe old man Tom Brady is kind of getting his chemistry down with Evans now. What's your assessment of this matchup?
Yeah, I hate the Buccaneers. No team made me more money this year than betting against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's the same narrative we're seeing all the time. Oh, Tom Brady. You don't want to see Tom Brady in the playoffs. Oh, this Buccaneers team. Nobody wants to play this Buccaneers team. Let me list off some offensive stats here. 25th in yards per play, 21st in third down conversion rate, 22nd in red zone offense, 32nd in yards per carry. They can't run the ball. 30th in yards per pass attempt. Tom Brady actually hasn't been playing that well in terms of just yards per throw. I have no faith in this Buccaneers team whatsoever. So what? They beat a couple crappy teams late in the year to make the playoffs, to win the NFC South at 8-9. No faith in the Buccaneers whatsoever. I'm going to take the Cowboys here. But I will say the Cowboys... play, especially defensively, does give me a little bit of concern late in the year. They aren't exactly playing their best football heading to the playoffs, but I have no faith in this Buccaneers team whatsoever. I bet against them all season. All season, we heard people say, oh, watch out, Tom Brady's about to get hot. This Buccaneers team about to get hot, and it never really happened up until the last two games. So, yeah, I'll take the Cowboys here. I think they win pretty handedly.
All right, good stuff there from Ian McMillan. Before that, Patrick Everson and Jason LaConfora. This is Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski, Sports Radio 670. The Score with you earlier than usual. Usually here 8 to 9 a.m. This morning, 6 to 7 a.m. because we've got BetQL's countdown to kickoff. Nick Costos, Ken Barkley coming up at 7 a.m. Hope you got all that. A lot of moving parts here during the NFL playoffs. All right, a couple of notes that I want to put on your radar for these six wildcard games this weekend. First-time playoff QBs versus non-first-time playoff QBs. Few of these scenarios. This is what's happened over the last 20 years. First-time playoff QBs are 18-36 straight up, 17-36-1 against the spread. Something to consider. Also something to consider, over the last 62 wildcard games, pretty good sample size, 62 wild card games. The outright winner is 54-7-1 ATS, 89%. Why does that matter? Well, there's not a lot of favorites win the game, but they don't cover. If the favorites are winning, they've been covering. Also, the new overtime rules coming into play. We'll see if that's a thing this weekend, if we get any of these overtime games. But if it goes to overtime, the overs are very likely to hit due to the amount of scoring that we could see. So something to keep in mind. Again, two games today, three games tomorrow, one game on Monday. And of course, you can hear them right here on Sports Radio 670, The Score. All right, let's go in chronological order. And we start with this afternoon, Seattle at San Francisco. The Niners are favored by 9.5 points after winning their last 10 games. I think the conditions are going to come into play. Rain is expected. So if there's going to be rain, you would think, oh, San Francisco run game, Shanahan, lock it in. I don't know about that. And Pete Carroll had his team practicing in the rain this week. Carroll wants to run the football. We'll see what it looks like with Brock Purdy, the rookie quarterback, out there in his first playoff game. Passed all tests, flying colors down the stretch, going a perfect 5-0, 13 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. I thought this stat was really funky. I don't know that it's actionable, but very shocked by it. Teams entering the playoffs on a winning streak of at least 10 games. They are 2-13 against the spread. I can make some sense of that, okay? 15 times, 2-13 against the spread. The lines get inflated. Oh, this team hasn't lost in 2-3 months. They're going to keep it rolling into the playoffs. Momentum is a thing. Okay, sure. Lines get inflated. Other side covers. 2-13. Those 15 teams are below 500 straight up. They are 7-8. Blew my mind. Sharps are on the Seahawks, and I'm understanding where they're coming from. We saw this game a few weeks ago in Seattle, and the line was 3. Home field is not that much of a difference. What happened when we saw San Francisco in a monsoon here at Soldier Field to start the season? One of the 3 Bears wins of the year. I understand the Seahawks side here with the Sharps. The line's inflated. It should be closer to 5 or 6. It shouldn't be 9 or 10. Give me Seattle plus 9.5. I think that's a pretty good look. If you're looking for a prop, Elijah Mitchell has been getting more and more run in recent weeks. I know it's been all about McCaffrey for a while, but we're starting to see more Mitchell. Shanahan likes to use multiple backs. Rushing prop for Mitchell, 36.5. Tonight's game, Chargers on the road as a favorite at the Jaguars. Mike Williams is out, and it didn't change the point spread at all. It's still Chargers minus 2.5. Jaguars are rolling coming into the playoffs. Last 7 games, 6-1 record. Trevor Lawrence with 14 total touchdowns, only 2 interceptions. But if you look at the opponents, not all that impressive. And the Chargers are getting healthier. Joey Bosa looks good. Trey Pipkins missed a lot of games. Our offensive tackle, he's going to be out there. Chargers can't stop the run, but it's not like the Jaguars are known for their rushing attack. A lot of people jumping on the ETN player props because of that. I think the Chargers win the game. I'm not sure about them covering the spread. I expect it to be a very tight game, and when you have Brandon Staley on one side, is he going to go for the extra point every time? Who knows? Maybe that 2.5 comes into play. So yeah, while I do think the Chargers win, Jaguars in a teaser makes sense by the numbers, right? Because you can move that Jaguars number through the 3 and through the 7. I'm a little worried about that, but I think play here is Chargers money line. If you don't want to lay some juice, maybe you match that up with another game. All right, let's move to the triple header on Sunday. Bills and the Dolphins. I bet this on Wednesday morning when I was talking about it with Mully and Haw. The line was 9.5, and I thought that was a ton of value on the Buffalo side and never felt that Tua was going to play. He's announced out. Line takes a jump. We're past 13. We're at 13.5, guys. This thing could be 14.5 by the time they kick off tomorrow. I bet the Bills. Am I going to bet the Bills at 13.5? No, the number matters. It could be a complete blowout, but I'm not going to go in on that again. Skylar Thompson, one of the worst quarterbacks we've seen in the NFL this year. And let's not forget, the part that's being overlooked with Miami is the state of this offensive line. Left tackle, right tackle, left guard, all not practicing all week. So this thing could get out of hand. It could be ugly. Dolphins did win the first matchup. Very fluky, in my opinion, if you look at the box score. And the Dolphins hung around a few weeks ago in Buffalo. But that was with Tua. Now we're talking about Skylar Thompson. Bills are going to win this one. For the props, I like James Cook to go over his rushing yards, over 35.5. If they're ahead, they're going to run the ball in that fourth quarter. And Cook is going to get the looks there. So 35.5, I thought that was a very low number, even though that's a tougher matchup against this Dolphins rush defense. Giants, Vikings, some are calling it the Fraud Bowl. Okay, I'm some of those people. I've been calling it the Fraud Bowl because you have a matchup of 2 teams with negative point differential. Giants minus 6, Vikings minus 3. And guess what? The line is Vikings minus 3. Total of 48. I find this one fascinating because all year long, people couldn't wait to fade the Vikings. 11-0 in 1-score games. That's unheard of, right? Well, they're going against a team that has had some fluky results as well. Daniel Jones is a better quarterback on the road. Daniel Jones is a better quarterback on the road. It's very strange, but it's a large sample size. Haven't been able to figure it out. He's 16-5 against the spread. I think a teaser's the best look. You can tease the Giants +9. Vikings, all they do is play in close games. Daniel Jones under 34.5 pass attempts. I expect that to hit. Ravens, Bengals, don't like a ton here. You know, I mean, we're out to 9. I'm not going to tease it. They knocked it out of the teaser zone. I'm not all that interested. If you're stretching for something, this is the third time they're playing each other. Dobbins, rushing prop, I guess. Huntley's going to be out there. He's just going to throw to Andrews, and they're going to run it with Dobbins. Bengals advance. Be careful of buying into the Bengals too much because the injuries have been piling up. Their right tackle and their right guard both out for this game. Monday Night Football, Cowboys, Bucks. I do have an opinion on the side here. Cowboys, their defense looked awful in the final stretch. 27 points per game allowed last five games. Dak had a terrible season. Ton of interceptions. He's 0-4 against the spread in the playoffs. But what this boils down to for me is the Bucks are healthier right now than they've been all season long. Go along the offensive line, defensive line, secondary where they missed multiple guys all year, wide receivers. They're all back, man. Getting Tom Brady in the playoffs as a home underdog just feels like a bargain, even though he has been horrendous at night. 2-16 against the spread last 18 games. A lot of those games, though, he was a favorite. So I am backing the Bucks plus the 2.5. And there's another teaser option there for you. You move that 2.5 all the way up to 8.5. Teasing that with the Giants seems like the best look. So that's exactly how I'm attacking Wild Card Weekend. If you're a regular Early Odds listener, you know Jim Miller is jacked about Bears' worst record hitting. We've got Survivor drama for $6.1 million. How about those Super Bowl MVP odds? You should take a look. Passing, rushing, receiving leader for the playoffs in his favorite play. That is next. Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski on Twitter, at Joe Ostrowski. This is 670 The Score and the Odyssey app. The Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Welcome back on Wild Card Weekend. Oh, I'm sorry. Super Wild Card Weekend. Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski, Sports Radio 670. The Score Saturday mornings. And we bring in my buddy and also my pitching coach, Jim Miller of Hawthorne Racecourse at Hawthorne Jim on Twitter. Jim, this is when I eat the crow because I was just so done with it. I'm like, dude, just stop. It's not going to hit. It's not going to hit. They can't win another game for it to hit. Well, the Bears didn't win another game. What'd they end with? 9 straight losses for you to cash all your Bears' worst record tickets?
10. Count 10. Them. 10.
It was 10. I stopped 10 looking.
10 straight losses. Here's the thing that was really kind of fun about this wager, and we talked about it going all the way back to preseason, Joe. You had a front office who knew they were secure in their job. You had a coach who knew he was secure in their job, and they were basically told to be able to do what they needed to do to set this organization up for success in the future. I thought Ryan Poles actually did a great job going all the way back to the draft, getting as many draft picks as he could. During the season, you saw the trade of Roquan Smith. You saw the trade of Robert Quinn. This was a team that was not wanting to win. The thing about it, though, they surprised teams early in the season, and it's the reason we were able to make some money on this wager, because at the start of the year, the Bears were 10-1 to have the worst record. They go out. They beat the Niners in week one. Everybody's splashing in puddles. They're talking playoffs and everything. The Bears go up to 19-1. Week three was the week that I thought was going to be the determining week of this wager. They beat the Texans because Davis Mills throws a bad interception. In the fourth, the Bears go up to 30-1 to have the worst record. Then you go a few weeks later, Bill Belichick talks about how awesome the Bears are, and the Bears back it up. They win that game. They go to 22-1, and then they stayed over 10-1, Joe, all the way to week 16.
Wow.
When the Texans found a way to beat the Titans, and then all of a sudden, glory came in the fourth quarter of week 18 on 4th and 20, when Lovey says, I know I'm out of here. We're going for it. We're going for two. And everything comes to fruition. And it turned out to be a really nice final week of the season.
Something that's very important when it comes to worst record, and we talked about worst record a lot, from sportsbook to sportsbook,
how they listed this prop was different. And the payout, a massive gap. And here's what I mean. Some sports books, worst record. That's where you bet. Worst record everywhere, right?
Yep.
But some sports book, instead of posting worst record, Jim, they post fewest wins, which is a tie with Houston for the Bears.
Correct.
Big difference. I'm glad you mentioned that Texans win this past week, because it leads us into Survivor. My pool started with over 1,100 entries. There were three remaining going into the final week. All three made different picks. All three won, Jim. So three are left standing. Three go 18-0. Congrats to them. What do you think? Do I need to carry this into the playoffs next year or what? I was kind of considering that. Now, as you ponder that, I want to throw out what happened at Circus Survivor. $6.1 million on the line. That one started with over 6,000, and they also had three remaining going into the final week. And they also had three different selections. 2-1, Jim. 2-1. Two winners split $6.1 million. So you get over $3 million each. Congrats to them. The loser took the Indianapolis Colts. When they had a Nathan Peterman fade available, they could have taken the Vikings. They took the Colts instead.
Wow.
I'm still a week later. That shakes me. So I can't imagine what it's doing to that person.
That's insane. I guess the question is, in the end, how much did third pick? That's the only that's
zero.
The only
$0.
That paid zero.
The winner take all.
Oh, then that's brutal. So bad. That was an easy one. That was a free square when the Bears were saying they're going to set Justin Fields.
Is that paralysis by analysis?
Oh my gosh. That's just feels like it. So bad. I feel badly for that person.
I know. I really can't talk a lot of crap because I didn't get anywhere close to that. Make
me
that
either.
Sort of a run in Survivor. But I'm like, when I saw those picks come out on Saturday, I was just mind blown. Like, what? Like the worst quarterback we've seen all season right here. Bears are actively trying to lose if you're watching any of these games. What are we doing? I know the Texans have to lose, but Lovie's still on the sideline. They're the idiots for putting Lovie on the sideline. A guy trying
yes,
to save
they
his
are.
Job. Morons. Early odds of Joe Ostrowski, Sports Radio 670, The Score with Jim Miller. All right, Jim, a couple props that I want to go over before we get to the best bets for wild card weekend. This is an interesting time to look at Super Bowl MVP. And I know people are thinking, oh, that's so far away. I'm going to do that in the 2 weeks leading up to it. But if you truly want the best number and you have a strong opinion on a team to get to the Super Bowl, you might as well take a couple of shots. Why not? Because the numbers that are out there are really enticing. Here's what I'm looking at, Jim. So last year, Cooper Kupp, your Super Bowl MVP. A few years back, Edelman, the Super Bowl MVP. A lot of times we hear the narrative that, well, if you're a receiver on a team with a great quarterback, you're never going to win the MVP over said quarterback. Stafford didn't get it last year, and that could have been a career achievement for him. Brady didn't get it the Edelman year. We have not seen a running back win this in 25 years, because I was starting to think about Christian McCaffrey. It could still happen, but it has been a very long time. Receivers, huge part of the game. So that's what I was looking at. The odds of various receivers on some of the teams that I believe can make a run to the Super Bowl. Now, Jim, this number is no longer available. In fact, it was gone about 10 minutes after I bet it, but I couldn't believe the number that I saw. I bet a Niner Super Bowl MVP. And I know there are a lot of players on that roster that could win it. I mean, Purdy overall, he's the fourth favorite, but you've got, Bosa, you've got Christian McCaffrey. Who knows? Ayuk could have a monster game. There's some connection there. A lot of different options. But I got Deebo Samuel at 200-1.
All right. This is what I find absolutely funny. We didn't talk about this before going on the air.
He's your
what
guy.
What team, who we had to look at.
Wow.
I'm looking at a ton of props. All surrounding one team, the San Francisco 49ers.
Okay.
To me, the AFC, there's multiple teams that can win. I only think there's one team in the NFC. I only think the Niners are the team that's going to get out of the NFC. Here's the thing. All right, they're only 2-1 to win the NFC. They're 5-1 to win the Super Bowl. Here's what I was looking at for props. All right. You mentioned Brock Purdy. He's 11-1 to win MVP. He's 8-1 right now to lead the postseason in passing yards. Christian McCaffrey is almost 5-1 to lead in rushing yards. Kittle and Debo are both 17-1. Ayuk is 19-1. I find it absolutely amazing that we're both sitting there talking about the same teams. But here's the thing. Their defense is incredible.
Yeah, it is.
And they found that their offense can revolve around Brock Purdy at quarterback and still be effective. And Debo Samuel's coming in a little bit more fresh as he came back off the injury here. I love everything that surrounds the 49ers this entire playoffs, Joe.
Yeah, I mean, that's where I ended up going. I just started looking at different numbers for receivers. The Bengals' path is tough. I like the team, but the injuries have been piling up. I'm very tempted by Ja'Marr Chase at 55-1 for Super Bowl MVP because that could happen if they get back there, but that's going to be tough. On the Eagles, for a team that could beat the Niners, they're the one, and I think a lot of people would look at A.J. Brown. But if you've been paying attention on the Eagles, the volume guy, has been Devontae Smith. Volume receivers are the ones that do have a chance at winning the Super Bowl MVP, like we just recently saw with Kupp and Edelman. So Devontae at 66-1, that might be a number that I would grab as well. But yeah, if you have a strong opinion on a team to get there, sure, put something on it right now. And for you with San Francisco, you feel that strong about it. And you don't like the value for the conference, which I certainly understand. It 2-1 is kind of a joke. Are you matching up San Francisco with a number of AFC teams for Super Bowl matchups?
That's what I did. I actually went with two different teams in the Super Bowl matchup. I like the Niners. I love them in the NFC side. There's two teams. I think Buffalo is the best team in the AFC. I think that's the other one that you look to when you're looking to leading passer, looking to any leading rusher, any leading receiver for the playoff props, because Buffalo gets that extra game too. The other team that I thought where it could provide some value, and we talked about this a few weeks ago, Joe, and they weren't even in the playoffs at the time, is the Los Angeles Chargers. Maybe they've overcome some of these hurdles. But when we talked about the Chargers, it was basically the Justin Herbert and Austin Eckler show because they had no healthy wide receivers.
Yep.
All of a sudden, receivers are getting healthy. This is a team that's 11-1 to win the AFC, 21-1 to win the Super Bowl. That's where you hook them up with a team like the Niners and try to find that Super Bowl matchup and then see if you can really make a nice score.
Okay, we are on the same page, and that Chargers number is interesting. It refused to settle all week. It was bouncing around inside of a field goal. I think they win. I'm just not sure that they're going to cover. But you mentioned passing, rushing, receiving leader for the playoffs, and I kept going back to one team. And since I think the Chargers are going to advance, I'm thinking, okay, if the Chiefs can go down, which I think they can because of that defense,
yeah,
who can hang with Patrick Mahomes? I don't think Trevor Lawrence can, even though he's had a terrific second half. I think Herbert can go punch for punch with him and maybe pull off the upset. So if Chargers players are getting 3-4 playoff games, I think there's value for passing leader with Herbert at 15-1. And also I was taking a look at Eckler at receiving leader at 50-1. So that's the key. If you're going to play into those markets, you need players that are going to get 3 or 4 games. If there's a team playing this weekend that you think is going to be in the Super Bowl, you might want to look at this stuff because typically the passing leader ends up playing 4 games.
You have to play 4 games if you want to win any of these. I think that's just the route you really have to go. Think about this too, Joe. Justin Herbert threw for nearly 500 yards more than Josh Allen did this season. And that was when he had weeks where he had nobody to throw to. That's how their offense is. That's what it revolves around. It's not a running game. It's Austin Eckler catching passes out of the backfield. It's Joshua Kelly coming out of the backfield. You now have Allen. You now have Mike Williams. They're going to throw. You're right. They could go right after KC, and KC's defense is very, very suspect. That's the team that I thought could be a little bit scary in the AFC side.
One small thing I disagree with. Passing leader, yes, you have to play 4 games. Receiving leader, probably. It was Kupp last year with 478. Second place was Chase. He also played 4 games. But the rushing leader, I think, is wide open. And last year, McKinnon was the guy. He played 3 games. In 2020, Lamar was the rushing leader, Jim, with 2 games and 170 yards. So these are not big numbers. 165. 170. So I was looking way down the board. You think the Bills are the best in the AFC? I would agree with that. Now we'll see if they make it all the way to the Super Bowl. But I was looking at James Cook 40-1 rushing leader. What do you think?
Why not? Why not? For sure. Because again, this is a team too that if they start to build a lead, you're going to want to milk some clock, and they have shown the ability to run the ball, and you're going to have that extra game. And like you said, you look at those numbers, it could be average 55, 60 yards a game.
Exactly.
And get four games. That's all you're going to need. Exactly. Why not? 220 yards could be enough to win this.
Yep. And he's been the guy that's been getting more run in the second half. We see it every year. These younger backs get more opportunity as the season moves along. And those are the backs they go to once you get to the postseason. Early odds with Joe Ostrowski, Sports Radio 670, The Score. All right, Jim Miller, what about your best bet of the six games on Super Wild Card Weekend?
Well, we do a postseason survivor pool, and I actually had my share of luck in it last year. This is one that's going to shock you, I think, a little bit, Joe.
Okay.
My play is the Dallas Cowboys on Monday night. They're looking at they're minus 2.5 right now. They looked terrible the final week of the season against Washington. I still don't think the Bucs are very good, and I think the Cowboys might have a little bit of a run in them in what is a very soft NFC. It would not surprise me if they go through and maybe play two or three games, so the Cowboys are going to be my play this week.
I hate this game. I hate both quarterbacks. I hate both teams. I'm not a fan of either head coach. I hate it. And it's got the primetime spot. It's going to get the most viewers. People are going to be excited because it's Brady against the Cowboys. I'll end up being excited once the game kicks off, but just trying to handicap it. I do understand why it went from 3 down to 2.5. A lot of Bucks support among sharper bettors. And that does make a lot of sense since they are at home and the Cowboys defense, 27 points per game last five games.
Yeah.
Like, what happened to them? And Dak missed five games and he tied for the league lead in interceptions. Like, what is going on with this guy right now? So I'm very confused on what to do. I think the Bucs teaser, you get the Bucs plus 8.5, Brady at home. They should be able to keep it a one score game,
yes.
Right?
Yes. It's a one score game for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Dallas. I didn't sign up yet because I was having trouble. But for Survivor, I'm thinking Chargers. I'm not going to use them again. And I think they win. All right, NFL, two games today, three tomorrow, one on Monday. Anything on the horses this weekend?
Of course. We had another winner last week for the horses, so let's see if we can do it again this week. We're going to bet all three of these horses across the board. Go to Oaklawn Park, race 9, bet the 1, Soy Tapatio across the board. Gulfstream Park, race 9, bet the 7, Sugar Fix across the board. And Fairgrounds Race 8, but the 2, Touch of Class across the board, and build that bankroll for a great Super Wild Card weekend, Joe.
Jim Miller, Hawthorne Race Course, every Saturday morning right here on The Score. Jim, best of luck this weekend, all right?
You got it, Joe. Good luck.
Have you seen the odds for the number one pick in the NFL draft? Oh, good. I'll share next. Early odds with Joe Ostrowski. This is 670 The Score and the Odyssey app. Good morning and welcome back. Early odds with Joe Ostrowski on 670 The Score. Yeah, with you earlier on this Super Wild Card Saturday. Was on with Bernstein and Holmes yesterday. We discussed the number one draft pick odds now posted for the NFL draft. And all of those have changed in the last day. All of them. Here's the bad news. Dan Bernstein might be a sharp. I'll explain why. Bryce Young still the favorite for the first pick at minus 130. C.J. Stroud still the second favorite at plus 240. But yesterday, quarterback Will Levis went from 20-1 all the way down to 6-1. Will Anderson and Jalen Carter are right behind Levis, tied for fourth on the odds board at plus 650. Bernstein might be a sharp because he stopped me in my tracks yesterday and said Levis is the guy to watch in the overall number one pick market. And then we have that move yesterday, 20-1 to 6-1. So yes, top three players in odds for the top pick, all QBs. The betting market expecting the Bears to make a trade. This is going to be a lot of fun to track over the next few months. All right, next week, early odds will be later, 11 a.m. But if you're worried about missing it, Just subscribe to the Early Odds of Joe Ostrowski podcast and the BetQL Daily podcast from my weekday show. There you can pick the topics that you want to listen to. Up next, BetQL's countdown to kickoff with my guys Nick Kostos and Ken Barkley. Best of luck this weekend. Cash those tickets and keep it locked right here on 670 The Score.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.